Good evening. The time is 7 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. And up next is Calculated Conversations.
All I know, I keep making this fooler. I stay protected, that blue steel it do ya. Yeah, my chick bad and I keep the Kill Bill, yeah. Born and raised, thoroughbred trio. Let's go, let's go.
Hey, this is Randy West coming from OSP at our annual Yahoo Sasa Talent Show.
Yeah, let me be clear about it, I got it. You way out of pocket, go bring this shit here. Getting body back, tipping the bottle back. This is
yeah, this your boy TJ down in OSP, man. I'm telling you, rap music, you know what I'm saying, R&B, you know what I'm saying, got a little bit of comedy up in there, man.
Y'all make sure y'all tune in June 25th at 6:30 p.m. Check out some of these guys from the OSP prison doing their thing, you know. We got a lot of acts and a lot of talent in here to share with the world, so just make sure y'all check that out. June 25th, 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline, y'all.
Tell me, baby, are we gonna let the elevator bring us down? Oh, no, let's go.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present the live broadcast for the 26th annual Good in the Hood Multicultural Music, Arts, and Food Festival. This three-day celebration kicks off Friday, June 22nd, with the Good in the Hood Parade and Festival continuing Saturday, June 23rd, and ending Sunday evening, June 24th. Good in the Hood is back at King School Park at Northeast Grand Avenue. Tune into KBOO starting Saturday afternoon on June 23rd for the live broadcast. More information about Good in the Hood can be found on the KBOO.fm website on the home page.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Spread yourself.
Yes, yes, everybody. We back. Calculated Conversation Show. Your boy David Jefferson and your co-host Ken Jones is back in the house. We missed you last week. Sorry about that. We had a bye week. And somebody was like, somebody was like, what's bye week? And it was crazy because they didn't understand what it even meant.
That had to do with the pride.
Yeah, with the pride week. And I didn't even think of it that way. I was like, dang, that's crazy. I didn't even.
Yeah,
with, nah. with so much sensitivity going on, I guess
right.
that would have made sense. But I was relating it more to football when you got a, you know, a week that you don't play and you just let it go by.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. I was cracking up.
Oh, you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we missed you last week, man. What's up, Ken?
Not too much. A nice soggy day. My back sweating. My AC out on the truck. I gotta put that together this weekend or something. Them leather seats ain't cool in the sunshine.
It's funny you said that, man. I do feel a little bit soggy, like when you leave your cornflakes out for six hours in the heat. You know what I mean? But dang. Yeah, we back, man. You know, got a lot of things going on, man. You know, a lot of good ideas.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
But, you know, last weekend, we didn't get a chance to speak to you guys about the previous weekend. But, you know, me and Ken, the Calculated Conversation clique, was asked to walk in the Grand Floral Rose Festival Parade.
Yeah.
With the Black Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, yes.
You know, on last Saturday, not the last one, the one before that.
Yeah, Saturday before last.
It's like an Ice Cube movie. Wait, when was Saturday exactly? But yeah, so man, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to touch up on that a little bit, yeah, man, because like.
That experience, bro.
Yeah, it was a crazy experience, man. And, you know, it was a. It's just one of them situations, man. Like, I always you know, like during my life, man, I've learned to, again, ignore like my own personal intuition sometimes, mm-hmm. and just go with the universe.
Right.
Because like I said, I feel like when we do things that we want to do a lot of the time, we could be making some costly mistakes by going against the energy and going against the universe, right? And so, to be honest, with the Rose Festival thing, that when they first asked us to do it, I felt like I didn't really want to do it. Like, I didn't have the energy. Like, we've been too busy lately, got too much going on outside of this. Like, right. I really don't have time to be riding on no float, man, waving for eight hours, right?
What was it? Elbow, wrist,
yeah.
Whatever the
and on top of that, they had to wave down to actual formula. Like, I was like, wait a minute, I thought you just throw your hands in the air, just like you just don't care, man. But for real though, it's you know, they had an actual formula to actually wave at people. So you had to, your elbow and your wrist have to be aligned some certain way, or you're not an official paradeer,
right?
But no, man, we had a lot of fun. And like I said, I really kind of wanted to say no, only because I just didn't know what they wanted us to do. I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm walking in parade, I'm like, that's kind of, it seems kind of a little corny. And besides that, I'm super busy, I'm super tired, it's the weekend. And, you know, all those excuses I was trying to come up with, you know. And even then, it's like, you know, when I go back to my philosophy and my beliefs, it's like the energy and the universe is like, you're not permitted to miss things like this according to what you believe in and what you say you're trying to do with your life, right?
Right.
And so, you know, that's when I, you know, hit you up and I was like, man, that's what they want us to do, man. I mean, you know, I know it wasn't super convenient for you either.
Right, no, we made it happen, though. That's saw the potential in it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we went back and forth about it. Like, you know, this is something. Right. So we get out there, get that exposure, be a part of something bigger than us.
Right.
And yeah, we showed up and they tried to give you a medium shirt.
Yeah, they tried to give me a medium shirt, you know, because I've been trying to, you know, as I'm getting older, man, my shirt's getting smaller.
Right.
First off, you know, when we was younger, I think we wore like 3Xs. I mean,
yeah, easily.
To the point to where we could have dang near, you know, didn't need pants or shirts for so long. You know,
it was a tent and a t-shirt.
Yeah, as you get older, man, it's like you don't really want that big, them big old clothes because you're already gaining extra meat everywhere. Right. You know what I'm saying? So you're like, okay, now I need to tighten my stuff up. Otherwise, you look like a Christmas ornament with legs, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I'll try to be quiet and say, yeah, let me get a large. And the lady got all loud. Oh, you said you want a medium, huh? Or I said, no, give me a medium.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And then she got loud with me in front of everybody. They looked at me. I said, man, I ain't doing this parade. But no, anyway. So we had fun, man, and we met some cool people. We walked for like, you know, when I first thought of it, I don't know what you thought, man, but I
had no clue.
I didn't know what we was doing. I figured like, okay, I'll walk a few blocks and I'll wave for a few minutes, and then they're gonna let me get back to my regular day. But man, we was there for about 6 hours, and we walked from,
that was a four mile walk. We started at the Motor Center.
Motor Center to Burnside, walked all the way from the motor to Burnside, and then all the way through downtown, zigzagged through downtown somehow, and ended up at Lincoln High School with a hurt back and no feet. You know, it was people laying in the line.
It was one of the ones I was cracking up because I was like, I ain't did so much straight smiling, I don't think, in my life, and I got overbite, bro. That's that it's hard to just hold teeth up.
Right.
Hold a whole jaw up that long doing the wave. Shout out Carmen for giving us the tips on the wave.
Carmen,
the whole
looked
way
out
through.
And then she started judging us like, that's not how you wave at people. I'm like, wait a minute, man. Wait 1 second. It's our first day here. Train us.
Man.
But yeah, you know, the energy was cool, man. Yeah. And Ken had mentioned something about like, just the natural joy that, you know, it looked like people was having just from seeing us. And we didn't expect to be, we didn't expect for that to happen. We didn't know what to expect, but like people was genuinely happy to see us walking and like happy that we were waving at them. Like we were actually important at that time. Really doing something for people.
Yeah, and it was you know, these people were showing up at whatever hours of the morning, lining up, you know, already being there, tents.
Right.
I heard it hailed on the other side of downtown before we got over there. You know, it was dope, though, just seeing the people. And, you know, this being the second time since 63, that the Chamber of Commerce had been walking in that, and so, you know, I felt like that was a big thing to be a part of. And we was bringing some flavor to the whole thing, even though we was behind the band. That was the one thing throwing it off. We, you know, the front line of our troop, they had a whole dance routine and everything going on. So at some of the stall moments, they were definitely getting it popping. The one lady, I can't think of her name, forgive me if you're listening in, she was pulling people from the crowd and getting them going. And to me, that was the dopest.
I think her name was like Rosebud or something. Okay. She was super dope. We was in the back and we didn't know all the moves. And I think that's something.
Work.
Like at some point, I think I just started doing the stanky leg, man. I was like, you know what? This is what I seen on MTV. So hopefully this worked. You know, I know the kids out here. So, but yeah, it was super dope, man. And we had a good time and just kind of overwhelmed at the amount of love that was shown and the amount of appreciation and the level of energy that was displayed, man. Right. It was just like, dang, we didn't expect that. So we actually got way more than we bargained for, you know, and it just kind of set the mood for, you know, who we are, what we're doing, you know, community relationships, you know, building more relationships with the Chamber of Commerce, some of the conversations we had with people, the people we met. I mean, just so much love. I mean, it's just one of the places that you was happy to be at that time, and I glad you was a part of it.
And I think that's what it was. It was definitely the reminder of what it is to just show up.
Right.
You know, not thinking you understand or you know, based on whatever you got going on in your head about what something could be, and just showing up and being a part of it. Let it show you what it's going to be rather than you telling yourself what it's going to be. And I think that was definitely the reminder.
Right. Every time I just kind of went with kind of like the energy's intuition, the universe is saying you need to be here, be there. Like, I don't necessarily go places and do things I always want to do. I just typically do things according to the energy when I'm listening and being obedient. Right. That is, you know, at times I go against it because I want to get testy.
Right.
I'm like, you can't be all the way right. You can't be right all the time, universe. So, I mean, I know you get thrown off sometime. I know you're floating in midair, but still, I know you got some flaws, you know. But and so, but every time I've listened to him, man, I've always found the hidden message, the hidden benefit that I've always seen it. And so that's what's encouraged me to continue to be at these places that may be uncomfortable or untimely or not what I'm normally used to. And I think that's where you find most of the benefits. And, I think somebody, I don't know who I was listening to, they said something to the effect that at the end, you know, at the end of fear is success. You know, at the end of it, once you get past the end of fear, because that's the thing that keeps people from getting there, you know what I mean? So once you get the end of it, then you find a lot of success, you know. And I think the connections we made and the conversations we had and the people's faces that lit up. I mean, all the, you know, the relationship between even a lot of the community members and, you know, the parade ears, as I call them, whatever the word is, and even the law enforcement, you know. I seen you have crack a couple of jokes and build small relationships as we traveled along
on
downtown.
The way through, I was making sure.
You made sure
to signal each of them to look over here and wave.
Right. Don't stand there and get tough, man. Get involved. We out here marching.
You can
smile and wave.
Right. And they had a whole conversation. I got a free little Max ticket at the end because I couldn't figure out how to work the machine. And that's what the dude at the end gave me the free ticket and was telling me all about Hawaii because he was native to Hawaii.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That officer.
He
was and he was looking for energy.
Right.
He was looking for it.
Right.
It was written all over his face.
Yeah.
Like, I want to build with somebody in this rare moment.
Right.
And he chose us.
All the way in.
And he chose us. Uh-huh. And it's like, you got the right one, baby. You know. So we was able to connect, man. We was able to connect with him, man. And he ended up giving up free Max tickets and giving us his experience from Hawaii to Portland. We talked about the parade, the weather, you know, his job. Like, we got all those things in that conversation about less than 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, but we was building everywhere, man. Yeah. We was building on the Max. I mean,
we did with the flight attendant got on there. Again, it just all the way around. And then even before that, thinking of where me and you both jumped over the first line of the instructions for the day, which was to meet at the Urban League.
You're right.
We skipped over line one and showed up over by the Motor Center. I showed up like, where's the red shirts? I didn't pay $20 for parking. It came and then pulled the paper out and was like,
Right.
Oh, that's where everybody at.
Right.
And remember when we was going over to practice, they was like, you're not there at this time? You're not a part of it. I was like, yikes.
I thought she meant be at the. I mean, she was pretty confusing too, though. You know, I mean, I thought at first I could have sworn she said be at the Motor Center.
Yeah, that's what
at 9 o'clock.
That's what I had heard, but then looking at those instructions and was like, oh, this is that. But look what came out of it. That's really what to go forward is. You know, right. Even you getting there, something that had nothing to do with the parade. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That you was able to stumble across.
Yeah, that's right, man. I was I smelled some food, you know, I'm chubby, man. So I smelled some food and nobody was there yet. And so, you know, me, I'm looking to walk around and strike up a conversation.
Right.
And so I see you know, and I'm hearing some music. I'm like, man, they slapping some music in here. It was actually some good music too. Okay. I was like, what they doing? So I walk in there and guess who in there, man? DJ OG went.
Yes.
You know, he's the official Portland Trailblazer DJ, you know, and a pretty good friend and associate of mine over the years. We've connected on some things, but, you know, not as much as we wanted to. But at this point, we had a chance to actually talk while he was playing some, you know, some nice tracks up there, man. And, man, we had a really in-depth conversation, man, about I had no idea how deep he actually was and
right. How
he did what he did, you know, how he does what he does as a pillar in the community, as a leader, as a you know, a pioneer, you know, as the Trailblazers DJ, and all the philosophies that he follow, and the things that he value and what he lives by and cherishes are literally the same things that we talk about here every day.
Nice.
And I didn't know that he was on that level, and so he's applied these formulas that we talk about to his life, you know, in the form of building relationships and, you know, being the best at who he is and the love he gets from the community and the you know, the outlandish level of support he gets from people at people at the highest levels.
Yes.
And he was basically breaking down every little aspect of how he's done this. And I was like, man, we got to get you on the show, man. We need you on the show. And so we telling y'all now that next Tuesday, you know, at this time, 7 o'clock, we're going to have DJ OG1 in the building, man. He going to break down some really, really serious philosophies and outlooks on his success and just on success as a human being in general.
Right.
And he got some amazing things to say, man. Some really deep things, really simple things, but, you know, really important that he knows for a fact that a lot of people are missing and blocking a lot of their own blessings.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't really take nothing away from a man who has achieved as much as he has and think that what he's saying is not legitimate.
And through the adversities,
the
roadblocks that have been tried to been tossed in his way. And
So I met another fellow. He was actually with OG1 right there. He was talking to OG, and then he got in the conversation. I believe his name was, I want to say his name was Trayvon or something like that. He's from Jamaica, and he works in the mayor's office in downtown Portland.
Okay.
And he was having the same conversation. So he was kind of thrown off to meet somebody else who was talking like this and seeing these things and breaking these things down. So it's like we realized that we was kind of all on the same wavelength and maybe really didn't realize it, but enjoying the fact that we, you know, bumped into one of our own and was able to build those bridges, which were pretty easy to build because we all had the same nuts, bolts, and tools.
Yeah, it was insane.
You know, and so the good thing that you don't even know yet is that I talked to him this morning and he's gonna come in with OG next Tuesday.
Dun, 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 dun.
Because he, you know, he oversees certain things in the mayor office. He has power over certain aspects of what goes on that they're connected to, especially when it comes to you know, our community and, you know, some of the events and some of the organizations that we work with.
Right.
He oversees some of those things, and he has a formula. that he uses that's relative to the same thing that OG1 was talking about, and that we were talking about. That he used to decide who he wants to work with.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I was like, "So this stuff is real."
It's gonna be a splashy episode.
Yeah, I'm like, this stuff is real, man. So you know, that's something for you guys to look forward to next week. Before we get ahead, let's give you the phone number to call in.
The good old 503-231-8187. That is the number to call in.
Right, and don't forget, follow us on social media. We got two people following us right now. No, I'm kidding. But we need more followers, more support, so we can keep doing this, and we know that the word's getting across. So yes. Facebook, we got Calculated Conversations, spelt the way it sounds. Twitter, we got Calculated Talk. Instagram, we got Calculated Conversation. And our email is calculatedconversation@gmail.com. Right?
Yeah, and the website will be up and running by next week. So you guys will be able to tune in and keep up. We'll have the RSS feed so you guys can be able to catch all the episodes, catch right. a little, you know, information about each of us, and it'll be able to just keep up on what the latest is, like the central hub for everything. So you guys will be able to connect that way in case it's too hard to remember all the platforms at once. Right. You can just go there and find them all.
Right, and stay on the lookout for a possible Calculated Conversation launch, maybe a little, what we call it?
it's the Calculated After Dark. But now the spinoff where we're gonna, you know, have a longer set time doing it on the like the podcast platform where we have a little bit more reach as far as what we can talk about and be a little.
Well, I was talking about the launch party too. Oh. I mean, us throwing an actual launch party for, okay. you know, for the show where people can come and check out what we're doing.
Got
and
it,
the shirts,
got it.
And we can actually connect with some people.
See, I was jumping all the way ahead.
Right, right. You went. that's like 6 weeks away.
I was giving them all the stuff.
But we got Jeff on the line, and we are interested in hearing what he got to say.
Jeff? Well, good evening, gentlemen. How you doing? Good to know that you're on the air. Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
We're good, Jeff, man. Good. Appreciate you calling in. Is this your first time calling? Sir.
Oh, first time, long time, right, sure.
Okay. what's going on, Jeff?
No. Oh, gentlemen, you are always an inspiration to me.
Thank you.
There is some truth. From your experience in the parade, remember, the Rose Parade for years and years and years and years was this exclusive thing with the Rosarians and the hoo-ha and the yada yada. They were all self-important and whatnot. But you experienced the thing that is fundamental. And I experienced this years ago. Uh-huh. And it's almost the kind of thing where you'd say, boy, that's manipulative. But it's not. It is this. It is that a smile begets a smile.
Right.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times I've frowned at a million people. I've done it a billion times. But when you exhibit the smile, you get back the smile.
Mm-hmm.
And the part about your participation in the Rose Festival Parade, and good on you for doing that, is exactly that. People were not only happy to see you, they were happy to see a smile,
right?
Mm.
And when you mm-hmm. offered that to another person, I mean, total stranger, complete
right.
stranger,
right.
and you said, "Whee, here are my teeth, and I'm not going to bite you with them." All right. and the only thing they can do, no matter how artificial your smile may be, and sometimes my smile is a little artificial, but the only thing they can do is smile back.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of the end of the things that divide us.
Right. Mm. Right.
Anyway, that's your hoo-ha from North Portland tonight. I surely thank you, and I will continue listening, and I beg you to continue your program and bring us the real stuff, the real stuff. Nothing artificial,
right.
Nothing synthetic, mm-mm. although we love synthetic music, you know, that synthetic hoo-ha or whatnot so that we all listen to, but absolutely the real stuff.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Gentlemen, I truly appreciate your program, and thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Thanks,
Jeff.
For calling, Jeff, man. We really appreciate that.
And good night.
Good night.
Good night. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, that made me think about something I forgot about when we were walking over the bridge. Remember we came
Burnside?
Yeah, we were coming to that point, and it was the family there, And it was like a, you know, he looked about 20-21, and he had the big Confederate flag over his lap spread out. Mm-hmm. And I remember passing by that, and I made it a point to keep waving and smiling. Like, and at first it was like, you know, they were trying to divert their eyes, but I was too, I was right there on that back corner, so you can't look around me. I'm right here. I'm too big for you to look around. And then I got a half smile and some half waves, but it was something.
Right.
And I was like, hey, victory for me. That's what that was.
Right. Probably something they didn't plan on giving it, but you know, you kind of pulled it out of them.
Right, right.
You know, like he said.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what made me think of it when he brought that up.
Yeah, you got to be, it's tough not to smile when somebody smile at you, you know what I mean? Like, especially a stranger in an environment like that.
It is contagious, bro. Like, I feel like somebody with a genuine, like a big smile, not a smirk, right, but a smile. The same way you sometimes, when you hear somebody laughing with everything they got, mm-hmm, you can just overhear that sometimes, and it triggers you to smile or even chuckle. You know what I mean? Like, that I feel is contagious. Like the idea, like a baby laughing. But I can't hear a baby laughing, I start cracking up. Whatever, especially when it's that. I cannot stop. So I really think there's something to that. And, you know, even the idea, and I think about this often when, you know, people are like, you know, smile, and tell people that. And I don't think it's so much as like you need to smile to be pretty, you need to smile to be handsome, none of that type of stuff, but more as what that energy comes across. And I definitely have to, you know, check myself in that, because sometimes I'll happen to catch a glimpse of me in the rear view and be like, yay, like, why am I looking so tight?
Right.
You know
right,
what I'm saying? Right. So having to loosen those features, and then even with, you know, just navigating, you know, through a store or something and passing somebody, instead of the effort it takes to act like you don't see somebody walking by you is a lot more than a quick acknowledgement, head nod, smile, you know, hey, and keep on going. And I feel like the effort that people put into trying to act like they were staring at the rotini shells that long, like, come on,
you know what's tough about about society and smiling in general, is that, I mean, people want to smile, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people don't smile, but they want to. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to connect with people, and they want to appear, they want to invite some bright energy in their life, you know. But based off the way we've been trained to see each other and treat each other, due to especially a lot of external differences and lack of transparency and what was it called? Toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. You know, some people don't smile. They don't know who will smile back or who won't, or who's willing, who's open to even doing it sometimes. Because, mm-hmm, I mean, if you ever notice, I mean, I'm pretty sure most humans walk by an adult stranger with the intentions on smiling, but realizing they never got eye contact, mm-hmm, or they never got they never even got looked at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, you can say hi to somebody or what's up to somebody, and they not even hear you because their mind is focused on blocking you out as they walk past. Mm-hmm. You know, you could look at somebody and see that they said something to you sometimes.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you're looking straight ahead and you trying to evade every opportunity to acknowledge another human being, you know, chances are if they say something, you won't even register, because you're already blocking that out. Even if you hear something, you will probably think it's not towards you.
Again, you know, it's the effort that goes into that, like the legit, like, your peripherals, like, we all got eyes for the most part, and what we can see looking straight forward, what we can see to our left and our right, for people with at least halfway decent vision, you can still make out that it's somebody there. And so when people act like they're so focused on what's ahead of them or just down to the left slightly, as if you're not seeing somebody else walking by, and again, it's not something that you have to do, but just the effort of ignoring somebody, I think, in my opinion, it takes way too much, as opposed to just giving a quick head nod and just recognizing that somebody's there. That's as simple as that is. And I mean, I've done it plenty of times, and I do it, you know, daily when I'm out navigating, making my runs. I try to make it a point to just, you know, hey, what's happening as I'm passing by, especially if I kind of am aware that they're not, it almost seems like purposely not acknowledging my presence, then it's kind of sometimes going out of that way just to make it known, you know.
Yeah, it's just that fear. I think that fear of lack of reciprocation, or, you know, lack of concern or empathy or whatever it is. But, you know, like Jeff said, I mean, those smiles are pretty much like the first steps towards, you know, breaking down divisions. I mean, that could bring some people together. I mean, that's a whole nother invitation into somebody's, you know, I feel like they spirit energy when they smile at you. And, you know, a lot of times words come after that, and a lot of times connections come after that, you know. And then you build, and then you realize why you were supposed to smile at that person. Yeah. You know, some people got married to the person they smiled to one day,
right?
You know, or got started working with somebody they smiled at one day, or became a business partner with somebody, right? Or, you know, I'm sure these things happen all the time. And
right,
you know, so the more we stay open-minded to other people's existence, man, I think the more we learn about the world and about ourselves, and being able to kind of navigate through it, you know, while being able to connect with people on multiple levels,
yeah,
in order to help define your own life as, yeah, well, and your own goals and your own calling,
right?
You know what I mean? I think that's a super dope concept, but we gotta stop being so resistant to the idea that other people exist and that they might be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I like it.
So yeah. Okay, let's get a number out again, just in case. I know we got people probably dying to call in now. 503, you got it. All
right, 503-231-8187. You guys can hit us up, give a call, let us know what's on your mind.
Right, let us know what's happening, man.
You know, something that I thought about and was going to bring up for the last episode, it's kind of going over is the idea of code switching. You familiar with this?
Code switching? No, what's, yeah, what is that exactly?
So it's kind of the, you know, the idea of the face that you put on depending, you know, your, what social interaction, like in the workplace, how you got your different hellos for your different people.
Not like makeup or nothing, right?
Right,
not. Oh, okay. I was going to say.
But just.
Natural.
That navigating in these different ways, and you know, I think some people have it to the extreme to where it's like, you know, you see, know them at work, and then you happen to see them outside and be like, whoa.
Oh, we talked about this.
Yeah, and it's okay. Like, whoa, that's not even like seamless. Like, that's just, that's completely the opposite. And right. Then, and wondering, you know, some of the things with that, like, do you in your experience, have you ever noticed that? Now, given that kind of definition of somebody that it's, you definitely seen a whole complete switch, or just something that changes
depending on environment that, right, they're in, or yeah, right, yeah, I've definitely seen that.
Right, right.
So what do you think about that? What are you saying?
You know, I definitely think that there's
is that a good thing, or is that a bad thing?
I don't think it's either.
Okay.
Right. I think there's, depending on how you do it.
Okay.
So there, let me give that there. Of course, you have to know your audience per se, right?
Right.
So the way I can sit and have a conversation with you sitting on the front of my truck might be different than if TED Talk pulled me up and said, break it down to me. You know what I mean? So I understand, right, that I might have to come across that a little different. There's certain things about me that I feel like are, most things are the same across the board.
Right.
No matter if it's in class, no matter if it's at work, no matter if it's with my partners, there's certain things that just, it blends. Like it's that same guy. Luckily, I work in a field where our PC-ness is not there. So there's a lot of F's, S's, and other expletives.
Expletives.
That can get thrown in expression of self and ideas and thoughts or whatever. But I definitely see where it can get bad, right? Mm-hmm. Where it can work around, because I've definitely seen people that get in a setting, let's say they get around, you know, those certain set of friends, and all of a sudden now they crazy tough, and then,
right,
they get over here and, you know, it's a whole different persona, and it's kind of, right, like it's confusing,
right?
Because then you don't even know what you're getting,
right?
You know what I mean? Now again, coming into a workplace, me and you got a rapport. Man, and I come over here and Susan, I might have a whole different way of approaching Susan, right, that, you, right, know, might not work. So I feel like some of those are just like these cultural exchanges, and it's not even black or white or none of that.
Right.
It's just a cultural difference through it, you know. Right. And with that, understanding that it's some people have this thing that, like, the idea of social anxiety, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a bit of that a lot more people have, you know, that condition as far as what it takes and kind of being out. And I feel like even for myself, like being out around people and I'm in a crazy crowded thing, sometimes I got to walk out and go take a breath. I need a moment to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of those things where at the end of the night, it feels like legit, like,
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas some people, that's what they need. I enjoy the energy of a ton of stuff going on around me, but it's like needing those breaks in there. And I feel that there's some people that put up, they put up such a face that it's legit killing their whole energy. Because they're having to carry the weight of pretty much a whole nother person at 8 hours a day or at this whole function. They're having to carry the weight of a whole nother human being almost. And I think that's where it kind of gets dangerous, because it's more at that point pandering for to for people to like this idea of you as opposed to you.
Okay.
And I think that's where, you know, just kind of getting in that realm and wanting just, you know, people to see that and take the time out to see if, you know, if that is you, you know, if you get out here and I wonder sometimes too, if kind of the switch up is like related to the idea, like when people get to work or these different settings, if it's like related to the idea of like authority from being
rules.
Young and having to fit in this mode of don't do, you can't, right. And having to stay in this little box. And I wonder if that kind of plays out in these situations of you have to be this way. That's why you were a certain way with your parents and then got with your partners and got to school and now you being you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wonder sometimes if that plays that plays into it or just what. But I think there's some of the things I've seen, I feel like I've seen it wear on people because they've had to wear a certain something for so long and them being themselves to when they finally get to that point, it's almost confusing to everybody they know because it's a complete shift most times. And not even most times, but in some situations.
Yeah, that's almost parallel to, you know, doing things and doing work that's outside of your passion too. You know what I mean? Like just how you get worn down by doing things for other people and you're not doing them for the love and the things that you love and care about. Well, after a while, you know, you do get burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's probably the same concept, because you're having to play this role at work or at an organization, or for it might just be for your fiance's father.
Right.
You know,
right.
I've seen dudes do that. You know, you're totally different person, you know, and it's like you can't be yourself. So eventually, you know, I call it the helium balloon under the water principle. You know, like you can
write that down.
Well, you can literally only, you know, hold a helium balloon underwater for so long until it gets to a point to where you forget you holding it. You know, and as you forget you holding it, you get more comfortable, and then your true character starts to emerge, and then people get an idea of who you truly are. And so, which is probably, you know, it's usually a good idea to just carry the helium balloon on top of the water so people can see it and let them decide, like, yeah, I don't like that balloon. Right. You know what I mean? Or that's actually cool. That balloon is actually transparent, and I can work with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's giving it to me raw, and some people ain't going to like it, and the people that is for you, they're going to connect with that, you know? But you are eliminating a lot of stress, issue, and mayhem by just giving it up front and just doing the uncomfortable thing. It's uncomfortable to be yourself sometimes, man, you know? And
With that, it's almost more uncomfortable to be carrying that weight. Okay. They chime in?
Yeah, we got somebody on the phone. Sorry about that. Why we talking another 30 minutes? What's his name? Stevie Ray. Stevie, you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hey.
So I really appreciate what you were saying about the social anxiety tip, because I have that where I shake. I get so nervous. But I'm at that point where I can't not say something.
Right.
So I'm facing that. I'm going out there and I'm looking like a fool and I'm shaking and I look like I'm about to cry, but it doesn't matter anymore because it's so important. And you were saying if there's anything that happened today that we would like to bring up.
Yeah.
I was listening to the radio earlier and heard about something happening at 4310 Southwest McAdam Avenue, and I'll repeat that later. It's the Occupy ICE PDX movement that's going on down there. It just started. It's mind-blowing to me that we could put kids in cages and not say something, right?
And yes,
so and again with that code switching, like I'm a punk rocker and I'm in a sea of hipsters and hippies, and it's like I gotta do me.
Yeah.
So today we found out that they've been blockading the front entrance of the ICE location, and they successfully kept people there from going through. But now they're going around the back and parking in the back, and that's what got my attention, because I'm very obsessed with renewable energy. They're parking in this lot that looks like it belongs to Tesla. So I called Tesla today, and their spokesperson that I spoke to said that they do not own the grass lot that ICE has been using, just putting it out there, guys, and that Tesla's running it up the chain, and they're going to make a statement to that regard, but I can't speak for them. So
4310 McAdam Avenue.
Yes, sir. This is correct. And also, the property owners are Stuart and Janice Lindquist Development Company. They're renting to the child nappers. Miss Godfrey's their attorney. The Occupy ICE PDX has one of those Facebook pages. So they've printed out the detailed plans for the land use proposal. They're in violation of their own land use proposal agreement. They're not supposed to keep people there over 12 hours, not supposed to keep them overnight, and definitely not kids. So now that I've done shaking, I'm so nervous to call, but I wanted to put that out there.
Oh,
that
good.
This is something that's happening. And I'll take your responses off the air. I love your show.
All right.
Thank you so much.
right welcome.
On, guys.
Thank you for
right
on. Thanks, Stevie.
Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Quick share. She overcame. Called through. Worked right. through that. I and like that.
Social anxiety.
Yes. Y'all make sure to check that out, too.
Yeah, we know a lot of y'all probably following that whole you know, that whole fiasco. So if you don't know, she just gave you some real nice information on some inside details on what's happening down there.
Yes.
Occupy ICE PDX.
4310 McAdam Avenue.
And again, our number up here, 503-231-8187. Calculated Conversation Show. Again, social media is the Facebook is Calculated Conversation. The Instagram is Calculated Conversation. The Twitter is Calculated Talk. The email is calculatedconversation@gmail.
And the website will be up and running in another week, calculatedconversation.com.
Dang, we did good. That's like one of them commercials that come on at 3 a.m. when you sleep.
Yeah, we might have to pull that, cut that in there. Use that for the drop.
Oh, yeah.
We got Dan.
All right, let's bring Dan on. Dan, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for calling.
Hey, I went to the Occupy thing this afternoon for about 3 hours. It's pretty cool, man. They got the front entrance blocked. They got people on all four corners of the building at McAdam and Moody, and you get there by going down Moody to, well, you can Google it and Google a map and find it, but it's 4310. It's a lot of fun. I know it's a serious subject, but I love these protests, man.
What do you love about the protests?
Oh, just the feeling of community. They got a lot of stuff. They got people are bringing in supplies. They're well stocked for now. But I asked the guy how long he was going to be there, and he said, "Well, I'll probably be here through three waves of arrests.
Uh-oh.
The police haven't come in yet to arrest anybody, but maybe I'll look at the second wave and see how many people are committed, and then I'll decide whether I want to stay or not."
Right, right.
Man, you make it sound fun.
It's a big party, man.
It's for the right thing, though.
All right, Dan. Thanks.
Yeah, well, we can't lose sight of that.
Right.
It's a very
right.
serious subject.
Right, right.
You know, I'm a white guy. I don't have to, you know, I'm not an immigrant, but I sympathize with them, and I'll just be present. How's that?
Righteous. Show up, show support.
Right. Do what's in your heart, man. Appreciate you calling, Dan.
Okay, bye.
All right.
All right.
Yes, we back. So some things going on in the town.
Yeah.
Some serious things. But thanks for Dan and Stevie Ray calling in, because if there's listeners on here that's really into that movement and really trying to figure out what's going on and how they can support those guys, and then they just gave it all to you there. 4310 McAdam Avenue, Occupy ICE PDX.
Yes, sir.
So,
Lisa.
Lisa, you there?
Sorry.
Hey.
Are we back to the topic?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I just wanted to give some input because I used to, I call it the iceberg effect. I think it's in a lot of books, actually.
Okay.
But it does cause, like, a form of insanity almost, because you're fighting against yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
And people don't get to know who you really are. So it's just, I mean, I've done it, and I learned the hard way, I guess you might say.
Yeah.
and I think a lot of people do it. I stopped doing it at work. Like, I just am who I am.
Right.
And I think if we all were transparent, it would be a lot easier, right. Really.
Right.
Like, I shouldn't have to be somebody else to please you.
Right.
You're either going to like me or you don't.
That's right. Right. In the end, yeah, that's what it is.
And that's, and, you know, and it's one of those things that, that people, again, they've got to understand, you know, of course, you know your audience. That's, you know, that's the big thing is know your audience, and you know the things that you may have to tweak a little bit in these different situations. But if you're coming in at as complete, like being dreading and having to get yourself a workup before walking into this place of this is who I have to be, this is who I have to be, that's more destructive than anything. Because that's what's right. always expected. And then when you're having that day that you're burnt out on carrying that weight of that other person and you just come in as you, people are confused. Are you upset? Are you mad? Like, what's going on? Who?
Right.
What is this? And that just creates a whole nother whirlwind. So it just creates this cycle where you keep having to go back and forth. And again, it's just a lot easier to come in and present yourself. And it may work for some people. It may not. The same way that that other face that you may carry in these different arenas, some people are going to like that and some people are not. And if we get too focused on trying to make sure everybody else is comfortable, then we're constantly making ourselves uncomfortable.
Right, and then it lessens who you are. Like, I had a lot of people tell me, you know, because I used to feel like I had to be a certain way, or people tell you, like, especially in relationships, if you're with somebody, I mean, in some relationships, they'll tell you, like, well, can you not do that? Or,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, it's sad, but true.
Yeah.
And when people got to really, when I was like, well, I don't care anymore, you know, and people were like, I didn't even know you were that funny, or I didn't know you were, you know what I mean? And it was that. I was like, well, this is who I was the whole time, though.
Right.
And I think, you know, especially, yeah, at work, I do cuss a little bit. A lot.
A little bit, I was about to say. I can tell.
I kind of have a cussing problem. I'm working on it, okay? But, you know, so when I go to work, I definitely, you know, I have to minimize those F-bombs.
Yeah.
But I am still who I am.
Right.
And people, I think, when you're genuine like that and transparent like that, they like you even more. Like,
right.
You're overwhelmed with how many friends you'll get and how much love you get from people, because
right.
Whether they like what you say or not, they got mad love for you.
Right. And they know what to expect. And I think that's one of the things that makes people's comfort level rise is right. Knowing what to expect, knowing that, okay, you're going to be this way no matter who's around, what's going on.
Right.
I know what I'm getting out of you, as opposed to always being a variable and you never knowing what you're going to get. That's kind of like, and a lot of people don't know how to deal with that, so they just don't.
Right.
They avoid it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah. Thanks.
Appreciate you calling in, Lisa.
All right. So, that's all I got.
All right. Talk with you later.
Thank you. Yeah, I think being who you are is super important, man, because in the end, if you're not, then you kind of just, again, you playing that role, and, you know, you're going to always slip out of the role no
right.
matter what. Even at, like, you know, people right. try to go to, I mean, why do people get disciplined sometimes at work or at school? It's because eventually they get back to being them.
Right.
And then you got to get a ticket for it, a referral for it or something, you know, but... You know, to go even deeper on that, I mean, you know, we definitely should never compromise, I think, our internal characters, you know, to fit society and what we think they want or what's going to work for everybody else.
Right.
Even within being real and being genuine and transparent and authentic right. with yourself, I mean, there's still a certain way you got to communicate that energy out into society. You know, a lot of people think being real is just talking crazy and talking mess and going,
right.
you know, like you don't have to, like you don't really have to be, you know, vulgar, you know, and aggressive to be real.
Right.
You can be smooth, calm, relaxed, transparent, empathetic, communicative,
right.
and still real all at the same time.
Right.
There's a way to do it. And that's, you know, again, this is what calculated conversation is about.
Right.
You know, it's about making sure that what we doing and the way we calculate our actions and words is not getting across in a manner to where it's actually compromising the overall message or mission. You know, we got to keep that by making sure that the transition is smooth between what we're saying and what we're doing and our actions and our intentions. Everything's got to line up. Otherwise, it don't matter how real you are if all you're doing is talking mess to everybody and talking crazy,
right.
even if you really feel that way.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's always a way to get your message across. And we got Lynn on the line right now, so we don't want to keep her waiting too long. Lynn, you there? Is Lynn there, or did she say, first of all, you took too long? Oh, hello. Oh, a guy. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's a guy.
Sorry about that, Lynn.
Well, one thing, I really like your program. I like what you do. And along your conversation, I'm 76 years old, and when I'm out and about, or was working, I'm retired now. When I'm out and about, I get along just great. Uh-huh. My problem is I have a hard time being myself at home. And that's, so I don't know what to do about it, but
do you live by yourself?
No, I'm married.
Okay.
So you
want to elaborate or yeah. a little bit or should we try to guess?
Well, they're somewhat controlling. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough that it gets to be really depressing.
Can I ask, why do you think it happens?
I really can't answer that, because I've tried asking what happens, and it's just dead end.
All right, another question. Can I ask why you allow it to happen?
Because I've tried to stop it, and it ain't happening.
So you don't have any power?
That's a fact.
Okay, well, you know, it happens to the best of us, man.
Yeah,
it
definitely
know?
Does.
Yeah.
Sound like you might just be wanting to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
I'm definitely trying to avoid a conflict. That's because
it's more comfortable.
I really like the woman. I've known her for many years.
Right, right.
So
you guys have a mental connection, would you say? Are you mentally intertwined?
More or less.
All right.
Sounds like you're just going with the flow, man. Yeah, well, I guess enjoy the ride, man. You know, and try not to get too frustrated when you hit a few bumps. Then,
I really try. Sometimes I have to walk out of the room.
Yeah, hey, that saves a lot of face at times.
Right. Sometimes you got to get a little energy, man, from elsewhere, and then come back and so you can be back pleasant and present again.
Yeah, go for a 20-mile ride on the bicycle.
Oh, jeez.
That's one way to get away, but it just don't move, right?
That's right.
All right, Lynn, thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, you keep up the good work. You're doing fine. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Again, this is the Calculated Conversation Show. Your host, David Jefferson and Ken Jones. Again, don't forget, next Tuesday, man, we have Portland Trailblazer DJ OG1 in the house. He gonna break down some really, really super crispy clean formulas and philosophies that he talked to me about, and I was like, we gotta get you on the show. Man, so
that's gonna be a
so
good
yeah next Tuesday, be on the lookout at 7 o'clock. It's gonna be super nice, man. And we also on kboo.fm. if you go to the website and you search Calculated Conversation, you will find all our archive shows dating all the way back to March 6th, when we first started. So we only been doing this about 3.5 months.
Man.
I feel like we've been doing it our whole life, though.
Right. But that's all it is we're just getting recorded talking.
Right, right. And so we definitely want to thank everybody for listening. I'm not leaving yet, but I'm just giving you guys more thanks, because every time we get calls in and people appreciate the show and they give us compliments and things like that, it helps us keep moving forward and, hopefully solidifying our contribution. All we're trying to do is just, bring awareness, build bridges, see if we can, open up some lines so that people can understand things about people that they didn't even consider at first, and and more understanding and more support, and hopefully more success moving forward in whatever capacity or aspect that you wish for it in. So,
yeah. And again, like he said, it's with getting the feedback from you guys, it's definitely solidifying, some of our thoughts of, why he thought of this show, why once I was in line with it and felt like the importance was there. Getting you guys feedback is showing us that this was the right choice. And, it's not like coming from your friends or your family, people that, they're just telling you what they should be telling you, or feel that they have to tell you. So getting it from you guys out there who, you know, you're strangers out there, but you're becoming family through this, through these airwaves and going back and forth. And this is, you know, this is why we keep doing it, and it's the motivation. Mm-hmm. Not that we wouldn't do it, because we do it off air, on air, right, whatever air. But being able to do this and actually get the feedback live in person, right, you know, you guys reaching out on social media, supporting the stuff, the emails, all that stuff, it just all comes together to help this experience be that much better.
Exactly. And we never know who's listening, who's not, you know, and it's just always great to hear, man. And we so grateful that we had the opportunity and the platform. So we got our we got Carl on the line. Carl, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey.
We got a couple of minutes, man. You called in a little late, but you know, we had to bring you in. What's going on, Carl?
Yeah, I had to kind of work in. I'm in the middle of giving somebody a jump start right now. But anyway.
Oh, you're transferring energy. That's good.
Hey. Yeah, exactly. I'm sharing my energy. So, some thoughts, like, you know, you were talking about people and their change and how they react and stuff. And I think, you know, that's simply, we all have our insecurities. And unfortunately, some people have more insecurities than others. And
right,
I don't know. We all just do the best we can. Mm-hmm. The other thought, you guys were talking about smiling, made me think of this guy I used to work for, and he was one of these wise men that, you know, he didn't say much, but he was just a wise dude. And one thing he used to say was, you know, like if he had a job for you to do, or if he wanted you to work on Saturday or Sunday or something, he would say, "You get to. You get to do this,
right,
and you get to do that." And he had this big smile, you know, he'd smile at you. But it kind of made me think of, you know, like, we get to smile at other people if we choose. You know, it's every time we cross paths with somebody, it's an opportunity to share that, you know.
Right.
So
absolutely,
it's something we get to do. It's an opportunity. It's a choice, and it's, you know, it only makes us better. The other thing I thought of, I don't know, you were talking about something about race or whatever. And
Carl, right quick, we got about, yep, 30 seconds for you to get through that thought, so yep, just to know, go ahead.
My daughter graduated from Oregon State, and they were doing the national anthem, and I was just sitting there going, wow, this is really cool that, you know, just this feeling of unity within that stadium. And then I thought of, you know, like I'd read in Sports Illustrated a letter a guy wrote about, you know, that what's getting to stand and blah, 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 the national anthem. And I thought, you know, there's some people need support, like Colin Kaepernick or somebody like that, and or they're willing to stand up for others that need support. And that's, and I think you're ignorant if you can't acknowledge that that's what those people need. They need support. They don't need,
right,
your BS. So anyway, that's all I got.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
man.
Carl.
Thanks again, Carl, man. Have a good one.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. That's our last call. We on our way out.
That's our outro.
Yeah, as a final note, man, this is an amazing show, man. You had a good time.
Yeah.
And as far as Carl was, I like what Carl said in the beginning. He said he gave somebody a jump, which kind of confirms that you can always support somebody and give somebody a little energy, and it won't take from you. You can still move after you help somebody else.
Yeah,
you can still keep pushing.
Yes.
All right, Calculated Conversation, we out.
Peace.
Man, I was...
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Solstice Celebration on Thursday, June 28th at 6:30 p.m. at EcoTrust in Portland. The Portland Solstice Celebration is a benefit party and open house in support of Rogue Farm Corps and their work training new farmers and preserving farmland. The event features live music, food and drinks, a raffle, and more. Again, that's the Portland Solstice Celebration on Thursday, June 28th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at EcoTrust, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
One nation, one cause, one people, one tribe. Now it's us against the pipeline. Get on your feet for Standing Rock, and we'll show you how strong we could be when we unify.
KBOO hosts beloved community and action movie nights.
This is KBOO Portland.